This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Bart Scott, we got football. Yeah, it's preseason, but at least it's gameplay. It's games. It's something. And in fact, at some point this weekend, we're actually going to see one of the top quarterbacks who may or may not play this season, see him playing. But tonight we've got two games, my man. We've got your, your Ravens and a 20-game winning streak in the preseason, which just like doesn't make any sense, but it's still interesting. They play the Titans.
Because we play real. We take it seriously.
Every game counts, right? Is that how we're looking at this? And then the Patriots host the Giants, and a lot of very interesting things happening in New England on that front. So, but we got games. Does it matter? Like, does it, when you were playing the preseason game, did you just have, at least for week one, was it a little bit of like excitement, anticipation, a little hype?
You mean all 10 plays I got?
Yeah. Well, it's still 10 plays, but you haven't played in a year.
Yeah,
so better than practice, right?
No, what I love, I love to see the young guys. I love to see the young guys. I got my stuff up loud. Y'all can't hear me?
I hear you perfectly.
All right. So listen, for me, it's the young guys.
Did I miss something? Were you trying to get me to like?
No, they said I was low.
Oh, they said you were low?
Yeah. I don't know why. But anyway. Well,
you know what else is low? My board. That's low too.
Well, I tell you what though.
Still low.
Yeah.
There it is.
What I love about the preseason.
Yep.
Is I love to see all these young guys that's been talking all this smack. I love to see who gonna come up big when the lights turn on. Right? That's what it's all about. It's about your first round draft picks. It's about that second year guy that's tired of being on special teams, and you get to see who's going to step up and who's going to start bowing their neck. Because, listen, somebody got to win it, and somebody got to play well. Do I really care about the end of the score at the end? No. I want to see which one of these young guys I can count on who can jump in this foxhole with me, because I'm looking for young guys that's a little bit crazy and willing to do whatever it takes, because at some point you can't do the crazy stuff on special teams and then come in and maybe you're a third down guy, maybe you're a third down back, maybe you're the backup receiver that they get a gadgets to. I want to see who's going to step up and make a big play in front of everybody. Who's going to – because, you know, the starters get you started. But then it's the backups that bring you to the finish line. So it's a beautiful thing. I love to see who's going to knock somebody the hell out. There's always somebody going to sleep.
Listen, there's always that one undrafted free agent that is about to get everybody's attention.
Yeah. And he in the corner. Like, remember these guys. Remember Terrell Davis. Like, who the hell is this dude when he went on kickoff, right? Like, it is moments where guys that weren't supposed to be stars in this league have that aha moment when everybody see, holy crap, this dude is a ball. He may be dumb as hell in practice, but if you just take the thinking away, this dude is a trained killer. That's what I love to see. It's always that guy in the corner. I'm gonna have some fun. You're like, hey man, you good? I'm gonna have some fun. Somebody gonna die today. I ain't going home. I gotta feed my mama. My mama need a house. She need that hole in the roof fixed. If I got a kid, he must die. I must break you. I love that. It is nothing like it, man. You got 92 people.
Yep.
53 jobs. It's either him or me. It's like Bad Boys. It's either him or us. This car's faster. It's either him or us. Oh, that's how you drive. From now on, that's how you play ball. If you can't, can you give me that every single time, Bobby Boucher? Yes, coach. That's what I'm talking about. I get fired up, man. I was born in this fire, baby. I was created
in
this fire.
Your first preseason game. Do you remember it?
Hell yeah. Detroit Lions, Joy Harrington. Night. Twice.
Yeah.
Then I got greedy, and some lineman peeled off and peeled my muffin black blue. But it was okay. The damage was done. Two things were true. First kickoff. They put me at number three. For anybody that know, the number three on the kickoff team, when you count from the outside in, you got the guy on the sideline, you got the guy sitting in between the hat, and you got the guy on the numbers. That's the number three. The number three is to the kick side. I'm talking when they play real football, where when you looked at the wedge, it was five fat guys over 300 pounds at 1,500 pounds of people.
Mm-hmm.
And just like a bowling pin, I'm trying to hit – the left of the center one. And I came down there, and I hit that wedge with every single thing I had. And the Lions and the Giants were always known for the people with the best wedges. And I went down there, and when I opened my eyes, I was facing the opposite direction, but I had peeled two of them off. And they said, damn, this dude is dumb. And guess what? We had another kickoff. And I ran down there even faster. They said, this dude is crazy.
I could just see you running, just going like, ah.
I swear to God. Listen, Allen, I swear.
Knowing like, this is my life right now.
Allen, I swear to God, I ran down there and I didn't flinch. I didn't take one step. I didn't throttle. When I say I ran through a brick wall, listen, my helmet popped off.
Wow.
Everything in my helmet exploded out. My ear pads came from being snapped. My chin strap. And I did it again. And they say, this dude is dumb and crazy. But we can use dumb and crazy, especially on special team. And that's kind of how I made the team. They say, this dude, like, he got to be some type of dummy. Like, he didn't stop. Mm. He accelerated.
So people didn't understand this stuff.
It's five linemen holding hands. And I'm remember, when you to the kick side,
1,500 pounds of human, yes. And you just said, I'm going to be the bullet. I'm going to be the bullet, and that's going to be the wall.
At 230.
Mm.
And did now, not this care
is how,
one bit.
But this is the thing, though. You doing that, it's not like you were like a linebacker at that point, right? They didn't view you as anything, right?
I was 57. You know what 57 is? That's the number they give the dude that's going to get cut. That's the scrub number.
Which is why you kept
45,
that
40, 42, 47. Yeah. Anything in the 40s, bums. It's the bum salad one. They give you those, you're like, damn, really? Damn.
Is that how you think of me?
Damn.
But that's what happens. You get an opportunity, and that's what these preseason games do. I mean, we always like watching the stars and the better players, and you want to like get a sense of what your team can be. But preseason is really about finding the Bart Scott each night.
The Terrell
Davis. By the end of it, four games in, by the end of it, you're like, man, this guy, every preseason, this guy brought it. And there's always those stories.
God rest his soul. My mom called me and said, baby, Saragusa, tell that Saragusa guy I'm a kick his butt. Because Saragusa was laughing. We were playing Atlanta Falcons, and he was the broadcaster.
Yep.
He said, Bart Scott is playing like it's the freaking Super Bowl. This dude is crazy. Why is he playing this damn hard? It was like one of those things, like everybody knows. Yep. Bud Crawford, his daughter lost her shoe, and then she had to put her shoe back on. She still caught everybody.
Yep.
I was playing at such another level because, to me, it was life or death. For me, I wasn't playing to try and make the team. I was fighting so many demons of the teacher that told me I had a greater chance of getting struck by lightning, of the smug look that every single player that was on that team from Miami, Notre Dame, Florida State, Michigan, Michigan State, Alabama, that smug look they gave me when I walked on the bus the first time when they took us to practice, the first day when we met each other, and they saw that I was from Southern Illinois, and they looked at me with disdain like I was beneath them. I was fighting every one of those haters on the team that thought they were better than me because they came from a bigger school. So you damn right, somebody was going to die today. It was either going to be them or me, but I had way much more on the line than they had. And that's what this today represents to me. It represents to me who's going to play without fear. Who's going to play with that relentless attitude? Who's going to fight those demons and face them and say, I'll be damned if you're going to deny me. I don't care what school you came from. He can't help you. Your teammates from Alabama can't help you. Your coaches can't help you. Nick Saban can't help you. Dabo Swinney can't help you. It's you and me. And I'll be damned if I lose to you. And I don't care what you think your pedigree is. Because I'm willing to die. Are you?
And that's exactly why it's exciting to watch the preseason. You can't get caught up in the stars not playing as much as they are. You know they're not going to play, or the main pieces, or what is my team really going to look like? Well, I can't tell. Now, preseason is for stories like that, what Bart Scott just told you about. Guys that are there and they know this is my chance, and they make the most of it, and what it can turn into. Well, it can turn into a 10-year Pro Bowl career. That's what it can turn into. And that's what it did for Bart, and it can for somebody this year. We'll find out. But you know what else? Speaking of stars, though, Bart, in the games tomorrow night, there's a whole bunch of them tomorrow night. I think there's about five or, yeah, at least five games tomorrow night. It includes the Browns and the Jaguars. And the Browns have said that Deshaun Watson is going to play.
Damn straight he played.
In the preseason. And it's interesting because we're still waiting to see how much he's going to be available to the Browns this season based on waiting for the appeal process to finish and what the result of that will be. Jeremy Fowler, ESPN NFL reporter, said a decision should be coming soon.
Just spoke with a Browns official, and I was told that they're loosely expecting a resolution or decision this week, by the end of this work week, because they're taking the league by their word that this will be an expedited appeal process. So in theory, Watson could get a ruling about how many games he can play this year, if at all, before he takes the field Friday night in preseason action. I talked to somebody involved in the case. They said there's always room for a potential settlement talks because the league has made proposals of a settlement in past weeks. So it's maybe a certain amount of games and a fine, but that would have to pick up right now. Right? You know, everybody's really waiting on Peter C. Harvey, the appeal arbitrator, to make his ruling here. And meanwhile, the Browns like what they see from Watson on the practice field. They want to see him in game action. So regardless, he will take the field against Jacksonville.
And Bart, you said also it's important for him to play based on the fact that we haven't seen him play, and he hasn't played in any kind of live action in well over a year.
Yeah, and he has to be able to get that rhythm and establish that rhythm and chemistry in game action, being able to see what, you know, his guys see, so them to be in that nonverbal communication where you can try and get some of that chemistry. Because if he is suspended for 6 weeks, he's going to have to come and hit the ground running. So, he's going to get as many reps as he can because it's that important, because he's going to have to be away from the team for the duration of the entire suspension.
Right.
So, he's going to get in there. He's going to play the fourth game. He's going to play the third game against the Scrubs.
All depends on, of course, what they decide. Right. We'll find out, as Jeremy Fowler said. We'll find out pretty soon, and then the Browns can adjust accordingly to that. But you will see him tomorrow night
in the
slate of games tomorrow night.
Y'all going to remember. I don't know if y'all forgot. Like, he's Patrick Mahomes with legs. I don't care what – forget what y'all thought and what y'all forgot. This man, when healthy, you can make the argument he's the best quarterback in the league, especially the best winner.
Right, but we don't know how available he's going to be and all the other stuff that's going to come with what has been chasing him, what he has put himself in, the situation he's put himself in over the last year.
It's impossible.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number, so we get you part of the conversation here. And also, as we talked about who is going to play, how about who isn't going to play in New England? Are they hiding some flaws on their team in Week 1? We'll discuss that in a moment. It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, a triple threat of protection with home, auto, and more. Visit Progressive.com. Bart, I want to grab a call here real quick. Because what you were talking about, I love when you give that perspective because it's so unique, and it also allows people to understand that there are things to watch in the preseason beyond the players you know about and you've heard of. There's some great stories that can emerge. And Kelly and Charlotte wanted to talk to you about it. Kelly.
Yo, Bart, first, hey, guys, I just want to say I'm a fan of your show. Bart, you just won me over, bro. Listen, that was the greatest motivational speech about preseason football. I'm watching preseason football just for that phenomenon. I'm normally just watching the first couple plays for the stars like everybody else. But now I'm looking for who's going to die today. That's what I want to see. Who's going to die today just because of you, Bart?
No doubt, man. I appreciate it. You just think about James Harrison, right? He was one of those goo goblins that was running down on special teams just like me. He got cut five times. Shannon Sharp, an undersized tight end, went all the way to the Hall of Fame. He started by running down on special teams and de-cleating people, right? Listen, not everybody's an instant success, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes some people, I say it all the time, some people are born, some people are built. And some people, it just takes an opportunity. It takes time. Hell, Willie Parker never even started at North Carolina. He's the best player on the field for the Super Bowl. That's what it's all about, man. Like, see, it's easy to follow the script and follow the back pages. Man, I'm telling you, just watch. Just watch people run it down. And see, you'll see. Somebody going to pop off the field. Somebody going to also fold. So it goes that way, too. Somebody's going to succumb to the pressure.
Yep.
Somebody's going to fold, and they're going to have to wait another time to get another opportunity because they just weren't ready, and they were consumed with the anxiety.
There's different paths to this level. There are different paths. They're not always the one paved in gold. There are some, like I said, some people take the elevator, and some people got to take the stairs. But you get there one way or another. Meanwhile, a player that I think jumped off the page a little bit last year, maybe to a bit of a surprise, was Mac Jones with the Patriots. Because where he was taken, he was the last quarterback taken in the first round last year. And it was like, all right, what's he going to be? And then he gets the job with the Patriots. He wins the job. And it was one of those things that you thought, wow, okay, maybe the Patriots found their replacement for Tom Brady. But this year in the preseason, in the training camp so far, Bart, it has been a different story. That offense has struggled. We heard from Mac Jones yesterday talking about how he's learned, he's always been able to adjust, and he will adjust, and he will be better, and all that stuff. But is it interesting to you that against the Giants tonight, Bill Belichick's not going to start Mac Jones in his second year? He's also not going to play his starters on offense either. And that is something that Mike Reese talked about, that they are protecting their offense, and there's still a lot of questions about it, including who's running the offense, who's calling the plays. No Josh McDaniels, no offensive coordinator.
It looks to me like Matt Patricia's the lead play caller. That's what we've seen in practices to this point. Now, Joe Judge, the quarterback's coach, is obviously a part of that picture as well, and Bill Belichick has acknowledged he's spending more time with the offense this year than he has in past years. So it's a combination of all three.
A lot of questions, like I said, Bart, a lot of questions, a lot of curiosity, a lot of what is going on in New England, and history tells us to trust Bill Belichick. But listen to Diana Russini, who on Get Up This Morning kind of said, you know what, maybe we need to just take it for face value.
I've never heard Mike report the way he's been reporting just about the confusion that's going on in New England, even following along with other beat reporters on social media and peering in, and of course having other conversations around the league and with sources I have in New England. This is not the same New England in August that we're used to. And I think that's something that we've got to wrap our heads around, that this may be the transition without Josh McDaniel may be a lot harder than perhaps what we're discussing here.
Bart, do you see that? Is it possible that Belichick is almost like, we look like trash right now, and we don't really want everybody to see what the condition we're in, so let's just not play our main guys?
I know we have the Rosetta Stone translator, but we're not going to use them right now. For me, when you look at it, right, Tom Brady used to play in these preseason games. He's hiding the fact that this offense is horrible, but this is what he's going to say. I promise you, verbatim, this is what Bill Belichick is going to say. We had a tremendous week of practice with the Giants during a week of practice. We are confident and we got our reps there. So I want to get a look at some of the other guys, in live action. We've already got our work done against the Giants when we practice against them. That's what he's going to say to try and protect himself. But the reality is he knows that this offense isn't ready. And I'm sure he's trying to have some type of deal made with Wink Martindale. See, this is why you don't want him out there, right? Because when I say Wink Martindale, you guys don't understand. Wink Martindale, Rex Ryan. Wink Martindale, Rex Ryan. And why is that important? In the first preseason game, you don't have all your protections down. You're still figuring stuff out. But Rex and Wink will bring every exotic blitz that they bring in the first. They put it in the first day of training camp. It don't matter. It's no ramp up. People used to get mad at us all the time. Why are you guys blitzing? Like, bro, this is our defense. This is what we do. This ain't even the most complex stuff we do. Like, they want you to play in preseason cover two, cover three, cover four, maybe some inside Mike blitz. They don't want to see a full overload, everybody standing up, five people from one side and then two people from the other side. They're like, man, we ain't ready for that. So he don't want Mac Jones get his muffin peeled back blue. So he like, you know what? We ain't gonna do that. Because guess what? When he was practicing against the Giants, they were saying, okay, this is blitz period. So everybody on the field knew it was blitz period pickup time. Opposed to on the field, blitz can come at any time, and you can have a short season by your quarterback if he take one of these blind sides, because guys are going to take it because they're trying to make a name for themselves.
I mean, it's just interesting where they are, and it's interesting how people are reacting to this. Again, Mike Reese has covered the team forever, and what he's saying, and then Diana was just saying that as well, and some other people whispering it. It's like, what is going on up there, and should we just trust Bill will figure it out? Or maybe it's just they're due. You have said all along, you think they're going to be the worst team in the AFC East. You said that for a while now. Could it come true? We shall see.
Yeah, I wonder if people are starting to think I'm, I'm concerned too now. You should have been concerned 2 damn months ago.
Mac Jones had a good rookie year. He had a good rookie year. He helped lead them to a playoff spot. But in his second year, along with the other second-year quarterbacks, what kind of season? Could he have a step-back season? Who knows? But coming up, we're going to take your calls, of course, at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But, Bart, let's do this. Let's now reset last year's quarterback draft and power rank the quarterbacks in year two. What you expect them to have, what the performance you expect them to have in year two. We're going to power rank the year two quarterbacks and see where Mac Jones ends up. And how about Trevor Lawrence, who has a new head coach? He went number one, and nobody talked about him last year. Well, we'll be talking about him this year. A lot more to do with you. Jalen Brunson of the Knicks going to join us later on in the show as well. We got some baseball to discuss. A little Field of Dreams action tonight for MLB. And yes, the Yankees. It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We got your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bart Scott with a motivational speech there at the beginning of the show that just, I mean, if you're not ready for preseason now, and you're like, it's preseason. Calm down. Dial it down. The guys don't even play. The stars don't play. Well, Bart gave you a reason to watch. It's like, go beyond, like, get beyond the idea of just watching the main players and the stars and the starters and all that stuff. Get beyond that and go for the stories that are motivational, that are inspirational, that are exciting. Bart's one of those stories. So if you missed it, don't worry about it. We'll make sure it gets out there because you got to hear it. It's fantastic. Meanwhile, as we're talking about who's not going to play in New England, none of the starters. Mac Jones not going to play. And if you wonder, like, you know, what are they trying to cover up there right now? Are they a little worried about how that offense looks? That's been the story up there. But Mac Jones had, Bart, would you argue, out of the rookie quarterbacks taken in that draft last year, did he have the best season? I think it's fair to say he did.
Yeah, statistically.
Like, statistically, success-wise, like, he had the best season.
He went to the best team.
Like, and it helped. He had a ready-made team, right?
Yeah, he was picked last. So, of course,
Justin Fields didn't get to play a lot. You know, Trey Lance didn't play much at all. Zach Wilson just had a horrific year. Trevor Lawrence, it was a nightmare. So, all right, let's do this. Let's power rank, though, year two. What you expect from the quarterbacks now in year two. Let's do five. Let's just do five. Let's do it this way because we know there were six that played last year.
Yeah.
So someone's not going to make it. So let's begin.
Number five, I'm going down to the Chocolate City itself, Houston, Texas. I tell you what, Davis Mills last year did not. He acquitted himself very well in a very dysfunctional environment as well. I mean, they were in some games late. He threw, you know, you look at guys like Brandon Cooks, over 1,000 yards receiving. He's a guy that if he would have stayed in school another year, he would have been a first-round draft pick. You know, shout out to the Texans for recognizing his talent and understanding they were getting a guy maybe a year too early. But he may be the long-term answer there in that organization. Davis Mills is not to be slept on. So Davis Mills is Bart Scott's number five.
Wow. Think about this. Third-round pick. So there were five taken in the first round. There's only four spots left. I mean, somebody in that first round is not going to make it. So we
number
go.
Number four.
Oh, Allen Hahn, we call that a tease.
Yes.
Such a tease. I tell you what, you go back to number four, and this guy would have been higher on the list if his team wasn't so damn horrible. I mean, you got Raekwon Smith saying he wants out of there, so you're not getting the ball back because, you know, maybe he's not happy. And if you move him, then now your defense aren't getting three and outs, aren't giving you more extra opportunities. Justin Fields, man, new coach, Eberflus, defensive-minded coach, not a lot of weapons, lose Allen Robinson, no weapons on the outside.
Offensive line issues.
Horrible.
Wow. I mean, so Justin Fields, you're
rebuilding. They're rebuilding the year after he got there. So he's year two. He's year one into the 2 year rebuild. Justin Fields going to be running for his life, scared straight. I just hope that they don't break him like David Carr was broken from getting beat up so much. I hope that he can withstand it. I hope they protect this young man and start building towards the future next year. But Justin Fields is a good quarterback. We just won't see it this year because he's going to be running for his damn life. Justin Fields, number four.
Number three.
Mac and cheese.
Oh, I'm not mac and cheese anymore. I'm string cheese because I went on a diet. I lost weight.
You're still mac and cheese. It's a fat kid that lives inside of you, Mac Jones. You can't cover it up because you went and got your body fat lower. I can care less. Mac and cheese, I tell you what, they so scared over there, they don't even want to put you out there because they know that they are a work in progress. Yes, they lose Shaq Mason. They go out and they draft. They make a controversial first-round pick of an offensive lineman that they probably could have got a lot later in the draft. You look on the outside, they still have Henry. You know, they have Bourne. They go make the trade for Devontae Parker. But who's calling the plays? Josh McDaniel left with the Da Vinci Code, and now everybody's being coy that, okay, who's going to be the play caller? We don't know. We don't need one. Yes, you do. We need to know our roles, and maybe they know their roles within
Matt
that
Patricia
building.
Is expected to be the play caller.
Yeah, and he's got experience in this doing what, right? I'm used to Charlie Weiss.
He was an offensive line coach back in the day, but he's mostly known for defense.
I'm used to Charlie Weiss. I'm used to Bill O'Brien. I'm used to Josh McDaniels. Whenever they lost a great coordinator, they had one sitting in the bullpen. Not anymore. They got, you know, the guy with the pencil with no eraser. So that means once he writes it down, he can't erase it. He can't erase his mistakes. And I tell you what, within that division, I tell you that the Patriots are falling. They're in free fall. They could be the worst team in the division. So mac and cheese, number three, or string cheese, however you feel it.
String cheese, number three, two left. This is year two quarterbacks, power ranking them so far. Bart Scott's telling us Davis Mills is five, Justin Fields is four, Mac Jones at three, so that leaves us two.
Number two.
Man, number two, the MILF Madden himself.
What?
Zach Wilson. Yes, you talk about last year.
Behave.
He was all over the place. He was trying to figure things out. He had to be set down. We looked at Mike White come in, ball out. We looked at Joe Flacco come in, ball out. And then Zach Wilson, late in the season for a couple of games, he showed his flashes. But I tell you what, they went out and got him the best running back in the game. And Breece Hall, you talk about what they did for him on the outside. Garrett Wilson, you got Corey Davis coming back, Elijah Moore. Mims looks like he's ready to contribute. And they went out and got him two tight ends that are produced within this league, and Uzama and Tomlin. You look at what they've done last year with their collect, or Conklin, what they did with their collective teams, and that's more productivity in one tight end than they had in the entire room. So now he has a lot of weapons, and the defense is much improved. So I look for Zach Wilson to make that big jump this year, man. I look for him to make that jump, but he can't make that jump all the way to number one because number one, go ahead and hit the bing for you.
Well, hang on, because I just want to let everybody know now. Out of the guys who were drafted in the first round, there are still two names that have not been called yet by Bart Scott. And as we go to
number one,
who will it be?
Man, I tell you what, this was tough, right? Because, of course, one of these guys are going to a team that was a playoff team last year. So he's filling in for a great team for a guy that has 74% win percentage. But I tell you what, Jimmy G, he's not. So I have to go all the way from the left coast to the south coast. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to believe in Trevor Lawrence. I'm going to believe that the fact that he was able to survive in that dysfunctional organization last year with everything that went down with Urban Meyer. This year he comes back. They go get Cam Robinson to protect him. You know, they go get Brandon Sheriff as well. They retain him. They bring in Juwan Taylor. They have a good, decent line, not a great one. They go out and get Evan Engram, who everybody around here in the New York area understands that he's a bloated up receiver that can play tight end. That could be a matchup problem. Christian Kirk reset the market for receivers. Oh, man. And we've been waiting for the Viscus Chenault to become that guy for a long time. He's supposed to be that Swiss Army knife. But I tell you what, I think this year is the year that we see Trevor Lawrence, you know, who's been on our monitor, on our radar for a long time,
yeah,
really live up to the expectations, right? And I think, you know, also we're getting Travis Etienne back, his college tailback, you know, that he won the championship with. I think they're going to be balanced. Now, I think he's going to show us why we've been talking about him for the last 6 years, ever since he came in as a freshman and won a title with the University of Clemson.
Hard to argue because
we saw him, Normandy.
It's hard to argue because you've got Trevor Lawrence going into now a way more stable situation than his rookie season. In fact, you could maybe say this will be more like his first season in the actual NFL compared to last year with Urban Meyer. With Doug Peterson, with that you know, franchise just kind of get stabilized. They don't have a ton of talent, obviously. So success wise,
they have talent on offense side.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, to great expectations as far as will they be a team that makes the playoffs, all that stuff. It's what we want to see. Like you said, we've been waiting years to see Trevor Lawrence in the NFL and what he can do. But last year was hard to really take anything from that because it was so dysfunctional and such a mess. So that's why I can see it. He was the number one pick for a reason. He's your number one pick here as far as who is going to have success this season. But the name, just real quick here, the name you left off the list is Trey Lance. And he's going to start with the 49ers team that is going to be a playoff team that is a very good roster. And you feel like, out of all the quarterbacks that you named, you don't see him having as good a season as the five you named here.
Well, I see him having like a Jalen Hurts type of season, right? When I say Jalen Hurts, you're going to see him like 700-800 yards rushing. They're going to use his legs. But then ultimately, I think they go against a team that can exploit him, that forces him to play quarterback, and I think he's going to fall short. Where these other guys are going to show us. Now, his team may have the better record, and they may go farther.
Yeah, but we're not talking about that. Right, we're not talking about team success.
Who's going to make you, believe.
Yes.
And I think that you're going to believe in Zach Wilson. Like, okay, maybe he's not Sam Darnold. You know, I think you're going to look at Trevor Lawrence like, man, this guy is the real deal. Yeah, the can't-miss prospect since Andrew Luck. So I think we see all that, and I think we're just going to feel so sorry for Justin Fields, man. We're going to be praying for him to 7-pound, 12-ounce baby Jesus.
But the Davis Mills edition of that is an interesting name that you threw on there. All right, agree or disagree with Bart? 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Your calls are coming up next. It's Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776 is the number. Buddha's in the Bronx. What's up, Buddha?
What's going on, guys? How y'all been?
What's good?
Hey, hanging in there. Can't complain. You know, Bart, listen, man. First of all, if Boston Dominus is right about the Patriots, we're going to be popping some bottles at the end of this year. That's number one. But, Yeah. Make that happen, Captain. But, listen, the first person that come to mind when you did your opening game preseason speech, man, was... I mean, I know, Alan, you respect this, man. I mean, did Victor Cruz look like Jerry Rice?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We never signed him. Never signed him.
Yeah, one of them is me.
He does the Harlem Shake at the 8-yard line of Darrell Revis, and they go to the Super Bowl. Unbelievable, man.
No, that was Antonio Cromartie. First of all, you're going to disrespect the future Hall of Fame and Darrell Revis. That was Antonio Cromartie. Stop that. And we were kicking their ass that game. And that one.
Don't let Candy jump in this conversation. You know, Chris Candy's got good memories of that as well.
Tell Chris Candy if I played with a Hall of Fame quarterback, I would have had 5 Super Bowl championships. Good luck. Don't want to hear that.
That one hurt real bad.
Yeah.
I cried in the car. I ain't going to lie. I cried in the car.
It is true, Buddha. But you're right, man. Thanks for the call. You're right, though.
Victor Cruz went for 300 yards against the Jets in the preseason. We was like, who the hell is this number three dude? He went 300.
And he was little.
Yeah, he was going against the backups. And we was like, who is this little dude sitting up there with this two-step cha-cha slide?
It's amazing how that just – but that's literally what the preseason is about, right? That's what you were talking about at the beginning of the show. It's the point is that there's going to be a guy that you haven't heard of, that you don't know who he is, that Mel Kiper wasn't talking about on draft night, and yet he's gonna steal the show.
Yeah,
that story in this league, and it'll be somebody that 10 years from now, you'll be like, man, you remember when he burst on the scene? Like those guys –
300 yards receiving in preseason gets the Jets?
And it's amazing how some guys walk into this and they're nervous, and some guys walk into this and they're what you said. They're desperate. Like, I'm too desperate to be nervous, right? I don't have time for anxiety.
Bart,
I don't
have time
to be, yeah, like, I need this.
Bart, you bleed. Ain't got time to bleed.
Ain't got time to bleed. But it's true. It's just an amazing thing that happens with these preseason games. And we could overlook it like, it's preseason. It's no big deal. But it is enough that will get you noticed. And there's always, every year, a player who finds his way onto the roster because of what he did in games like we will see tonight. We have more of your calls coming up in 10 seconds. Stay with us. Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. You had people all fired up. Furious Styles on Twitter. That preseason speech you gave has me fired up. I'm ready to run through a wall at work as we speak. LOL.
Hey, don't do that, man.
Don't break wall. Don't break the cubicle wall.
Listen, because they ain't going to pay you workers' comp. They're going to use this as note that you did it by your own purpose.
Let's go. Let's get some more calls in here. So we got Kevin Millar going to join us a little bit later on. We got some baseball to get to. Bart's got a list of sleeper bums. Remember yesterday we were talking about how, like, the sleeper teams that we think could win the Super Bowl, that, you know, teams that you're not talking about. And we had people telling us the Steelers. We had more than one person call in and say the Steelers. But how about the sleeper bums? Teams that everybody's, like, expecting to be good, and Bart's going to tell you, nah, they're actually going to be bums this year.
Meh.
And you're going to say, you're crazy, Bart. You're out of your mind, Bart. And he's going to say, all right, talk to me in January. Yes. Exactly. Plenty of that to get to. We've also got Jalen Brunson of the Knicks going to join us in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll talk with him about what the hell happened in the Bronx earlier this week. If you're in New York, you understand what that's about. But it'll be a fun conversation we have with him. But let's get to some more calls. Let's go to Matt in Maryland. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So, Bart, kind of given your experience, looking at Lamar Jackson and knowing that he's kind of having that contract negotiation, Joe Flacco went through a similar thing, bet on himself, and, you know, the Ravens essentially backed the money truck up to him. Could Lamar be looking at that and saying, hey, I've got an MVP, he didn't have that, I have a great defense, the only thing that would make it better is if Bart Scott came back, but is that possible, in your opinion, that Lamar could be looking at that for this upcoming contract negotiation and willing to bet on himself?
Yeah, I kind of spoke to that, right? Because no matter what, it's not an injury that really can occur that can end his career. So no matter what, that money that he's offered is always going to be there. I mean, we watched Dak Prescott have a compound fracture, and he still got his money. So if I'm Lamar Jackson, he's saying I can only gain more money. Just look at how much money he's earned by not signing a contract with him, right? When once we saw Kyler Murray get paid, Deshaun Watson get paid, they could have gave him an extension last year or the year before when Josh Allen got his extension. But he's been holding pat. It's because he's held pat, he's made about 10 to 15 million annually. And if he does what Joe Flacco does, he's having a conversation, not saying I want to get paid in between Aaron Rodgers and in between Deshaun Watson or Kyler Murray. He's saying I need to be the highest paid, period. So that means plus 50, because right now the going rate is 50. And if he gets that and he says, hey, I want 5 years, 50 per, then he can get that. And knowing that because he's young enough, he can get another bite at the apple.
I thought Matt would have a follow-up, but okay. It sounded like he had something else he wanted to ask about it, but that's just been the conversation we have had regarding Lamar Jackson this whole time, right? It's betting on himself, and the feeling that it used to feel like, well, if you get hurt, all that money comes off the table. But with his resume
and
with the ability, yeah, well, we saw it there, but also with the ability to like, injuries aren't as devastating as they used to be.
Right.
They just aren't. They don't,
Dan Marino,
at least they don't seem
Dan Marino's
to
the first person to come back from the Achilles. Like, now people pop their Achilles, they come back the same damn year.
Well, I mean, you're seeing that around
Terrell
the league.
Terrell Suggs
crazy.
Did that. You saw Cam Akers last year come back after having it.
So, now, look, nobody's wishing this on anybody, obviously. But I'm looking at Lamar. If you're the Ravens, you kind of know what's it going to cost. So waiting, it's I don't know. Like if you know exactly what he wants, what are you waiting
more.
For?
Gonna cost you more. He's been everything
you know what?
For.
It could. It certainly could. Let's go to Jonathan in Omaha. Jonathan.
Hey, kind of picking up on the whole preseason talk. Great talk, by the way. Personally, I love preseason. To me, football is football, right? And I have a lot of family on the coast and some families in Chicago, you know. And I hear it a lot, too. Like, oh, preseason's not football. And it's like, I'm thinking, like what? Where's the hate for preseason at? I mean, I live in Omaha, big college football market, but, like, I take all the football I can get, man. I love that Hall of Fame game, you know. Football's football. You got to appreciate what they do. I don't get where it reminds me of people, you know, I think people are NFL fans, you know, when I hear that, you know, and the NFL is great, but there's more football than the NFL, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't know what you guys think, but that's just kind of my take on it.
I just think what happens is, we get, like, right now it's exciting because week one, right? Usually when you get to, like, week three or week two, that's when it starts to drop off because you just feel like, all right, I'm not seeing main guys. Well, these guys aren't even going to make the team. That's what fans a lot say. He's not even going to make the team. I don't want to watch this guy. But the teams have a reason for it.
Every movie doesn't have to be Usual Suspects. I can watch Tropical Thunder and still be entertained. Everything doesn't have to be the most beautifully written, you know, poetic thing that you see. Some stuff can just be football. It could be, you know, something that you can digest knowing that we get more.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have more of your calls coming up, and also things are going to get heated again. Stay with us.
Bart and Han.